The world needs messages of love, unity, compassion, and inclusivity now more than ever, and this podcast delivers that. Whether you're a parent, teacher, counselor, or energy healer, with the right intention, we all have the potential to be a healing presence for others. The truth is, we are all ordinary people capable of having an extraordinary impact. Imagine if we all did that on purpose. Join Global Impact visionary leader, intuitive healer, and spiritual mentor, Sue DeMay, for authentic conversations that will inspire you to become more of a healing presence in your work, in your relationships, and in the world. And now, here is your host, Sue DeMay.
Welcome to the show. It's an honor to be here with you once again. The We Are All Healers podcast based on the book. And we are all talking about ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world and how we can be a healing presence in the world, in our lives, and in our lives individually, but also influencing those people that are around us, our family, our friends, our relationships, all of that. So today we have another guest speaker, and a guest healer from one of the books is Rosemary. And Rosemary, welcome. It's an honor to be here with you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So I'm going to begin the way I've been in the beginning with all of the authors and just asking the question, what does it mean to be a healing presence for you?
Yeah, so it feels like it means more than one thing to me, but the first kind of predominant thing that always comes to mind for me is this sense of really doing this focus on doing my own healing, doing my own work to clear all of the stuff, all of the, stories and fears and traumas and all of that, to be able to get that out of the way so that I can be more present and be more to kind of clear the way for that to come out. I do that naturally. Like that's always my commitment or my goal, is to just keep clearing, to be more of the light that can shine through. So that always feels really present and important to me. And then the other way that always comes to mind is more of the intentional, coming into a space with the intention of holding the frequency of something like light or love. Especially in my work as a counselor or a therapist, I really feel like I come in with the intention of being completely non-judgmental, unconditionally just curious and present and bringing light to it. The interesting thing is that when I've tuned in before to sort of check, okay, so you know what frequency can hold be really healing right now, it's usually something just like light, or sometimes, you know, love, or even playfulness or peace. But last week when I tuned in one time, the words were divine destruction.
That's
interesting. Divine destruction. And it took me, I had to kind of tune into that and go, well, that's different. but as I kind of sat with it, it made kind of sense that sometimes we need to kind of, that the first meaning for me of being a healing presence is clearing the way, right? So sometimes we need to just kind of really clear whatever we sometimes need to destroy or take apart or take down. Whatever it is that has been there that is no longer helpful. So it was interesting to me that came in. But I think, you know, putting that all together, it's really clearing the way to be more light and then intentionally bringing that light in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me of the the circle of life, right? It's just like that, you know, when you look at a plant or a tree, and it's kind of has its life and it's like seeds, and then the seeds will grow. And sometimes the plants are actually meant to only have one season, right? And others will come back, but they seem to kind of die away through the winter and then they come back. I had this one hosta plant in the corner that I planted. I actually planted two, and my dog dug up one completely. And then he started eating the roots of the other one. So I ended up getting this motion sprinkler thing. So now anytime he goes near that area, the water goes on and he runs away. I've got him to stop digging that area, but I wasn't sure. I knew the one was done. It just had no roots left, but the other one was sitting there with some roots, but it looked like completely destroyed. Like it, I don't know how it was going to come back. But sure enough, this year, I just started watering it. And all of a sudden, there's a little bit of green coming back. So it's like, sometimes it's that breaking down, that decaying, right? And then suddenly there's new life, or there's a renewed life coming back. So when you said divine destruction, it's like disassembling, dismembering, and reorganizing, and kind of coming back in a way that's stronger and feels purposeful. And I often talk about kind of breaking, like, you know, jackhammering or breaking down the foundation of fear that we're standing on. So it feels like a destructive process, but it's a healthy destructive process, right?
Yeah. I love that. Exactly.
So when you are working with clients as a counselor and as you're an intuitive coach as well, when you're working with your clients and you hold that presence for them, you know, you're holding that presence of non-condition, like you say, non-judgmental, unconditional love, just holding that space for them to come in and just really be that witness for them, that compassionate witness for them to share, you know, their wounds or their trauma or whatever it is they need in order to heal. Do you find that you can also do that, or that you also do that like with your children or with other people in your life?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I do feel like I do that with my children at times. I mean, I'm certainly not perfect. Sometimes I'm not holding very helpful for empathy around them. Other times I am with it. I am able to hold that space for them for whatever they need. I'm not sure, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, I don't know, I'm human too, right? I don't always think of this, but I sometimes I'll go into a space kind of just whether it's like at pickup at school for picking my kids up, or whether it's going into the grocery store, or whatever it is. And sometimes I'll sort of have this, oh, you know, it might be nice to kind of tune in to see if I need to hold some space here for everyone. And so I'll do that. So yeah, it could be anywhere. Absolutely. Wherever it kind of shows up in my awareness to be like, oh yeah, this might be a helpful moment to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a fine dance between, you know, holding the space in the content of like the context of your work, and then holding the space in the context of your family with your children, and then, you know, extending that out into kind of on a grander scale for humanity, or for a moment, or for, you know, like you say, when you're sitting waiting for your kids to come out of school. There's a fine balance between, you know, holding that space or being that container or being open to, you know, holding that space for healing, and then also honoring what you need and taking breaks, right? I often say, like, there's times where I need to mind my own business and kind of tune out the world and really go inward and really mind my own business and be within and do that inner healing work, which you talked about earlier, is like going within to do the inner clearing the path. That allows you to do the outer work more efficiently and with less, you know, sacrifice to self, because you're actually really honoring what you need as well as what your clients or your kids need as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that, you know, I hadn't thought of it years and years when I was writing my piece in the book, We Are All Healers, it reminded me, or it came into my that when I was kind of an older teenager, a young adult, kind of that age, my mom said to me one time that whenever I was present in like a meeting or, you know, some kind of decision-making process, things went more smoothly and the outcome was better. And she had noticed that. And that, and, you know, at the time, I don't know, I guess it kind of didn't really sink in, or I completely forgot about it. But it came in again, you know, just this idea of we might not even realize or know, right? If she hadn't said anything, or, I mean, I didn't even think of it afterwards for years and years, that, you know, we can be this sort of healing presence, or this kind of having this helpful impact on situations without even really realizing it, mm-hmm. even without intention.
Yeah, I love that. You know, that's what I experience a lot with animals, right? Like, animals don't come and like, oh, I'm going to be like really affectionate today and, you know, make my owner feel really good. It's just like, they're just like, woohoo, they're home. You know, it's like, they just naturally just show up in the way that they do, and they have an impact, right? And I love what you're saying. It's like, you know, we never really know how we are impacting others. But this book is what the message is really about, is like, no matter what you're doing, you are having an impact. So the more we focus on doing, you know, being presence or being grounded or just being, you know, love or whatever it is, or just even being in the room, like you said, is like, you were in the room and maybe you were even just playing in the corner or hanging out or reading, or doesn't really matter, but just even you being in the room, your energy had an impact, at least on your mom, and I'm sure mm-hmm. others. So that's such a beautiful story, because like you say, we don't always get that information. We don't always get that feedback or that acknowledgement or that understanding. So that's really powerful to hear.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, I do think that's so important to remember that I think we probably more often than not don't get the feedback about how helpful or impactful we might be.
Yeah, I find that the world is more quick to criticize, to tear down or criticize, than to uplift and compliment, right? So we criticize more than we compliment. Yeah. So even shifting that, you know, it's like, okay, how can I compliment, or how can I, you know, lift this person up by sharing something that would make them feel, you know, good about themselves, or even just acknowledge, you know, when my mom was sick, we had those kind of that sweet pocket of like 9 weeks with her before she passed. I mean, from the diagnosis to her passing was very quick and rapid. And in that time, I just was like reflecting on all the things that, you know, we got to say, all the things that we got to say, because we knew it was coming. She was prepared. We were preparing. My brother and sister were preparing. And we were able to say all the things we needed to say, and to really acknowledge and thank her for, at least I did, for everything that she did for me and how she showed up for me. And it was such a gift. And the question kept coming is like, why do we wait until the end or until someone leaves to say how much they meant to you? So it really made me reflect and stop and go, okay, well, how can I be more, acknowledge more, share more how people impact me, or be more appreciative or show gratitude more, and just let people know now. You know, we don't need a reminder of how short life is to appreciate people in our lives. So I find that really shifted something in me too, is just being able to speak more and share more about how people are actually impacting me, or what I'm noticing, how they're actually influencing and impacting others too, because we don't always see it and we don't always hear it. We don't always know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it kind of brings to mind that I feel like, you know, most people probably don't like hearing criticism, but also I feel like a lot of people, you know, myself included, can feel uncomfortable hearing something positive as well, right? And so it's interesting that, you know, I don't know if that's just from the way that, you know, society is or culture is or the way that we're raised, but it feels like when we might make the effort to be more positive and intentionally say, you know, nice things to people, sometimes it can feel uncomfortable, right? It's not really considered very normal.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, you know, have more challenge receiving compliments. They have an easier time extending them when they remember, but they have a harder time receiving them. Yeah. I remember that for myself too. It was almost like a cringe. It's like, am I worthy of that? Is that really true? It's like, I remember cringing. I remember one counselor I went to way in the beginning when I first started kind of receiving counseling for my anorexia and my eating disorder. I kept getting like, I need to accept compliments and not cringe. I want to accept compliments. So I just kept hearing like, when someone says something nice, just say thank you. And then stop, full stop. They're like, oh, I like your hair today. Oh, yeah, I didn't really do anything with it. Like, you know, or, oh, that's a really nice shirt. This whole thing, you know, we're so used to like kind of brushing off the compliment or deflecting it or, you know, saying something that actually minimizes it because we're uncomfortable. So my practice was just to say thank you, even though it was uncomfortable, and not say anything else. And it actually got easier as I started to actually practice that.
I love that. I remember when I was a kid, probably elementary school aged, I had this like really strong feeling that anytime someone gave me a compliment, I had to give them a compliment back, right? Like I had to find something nice to say. Like if they said, oh, I really like your hair today, I would say, oh, I have to be like, oh, I really like your shirt, or, you know, something. Like there had to be this like equal exchange or something. Otherwise, like, I don't know, I had to be that way. It was so uncomfortable. And I still notice myself occasionally feeling that even now, if someone says something, you know, nice to me, especially if it's sort of an acquaintance, I kind of have this urge that, oh, I need to find something to compliment them back. It's such an interesting thing to observe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I'm like, oh yeah, I remember doing that too. That was another way. We like, okay, thank you. Let's take the spotlight off me and let's focus back on you. Or like there's a debt. Like I received that and I owe you one back, right? There's almost like a debt, which is a really, it's that, again, it's that programming that we have that we're conditioned to, you know, be more selfless and giving and giving, but it's a giving and receiving. It is an exchange. And the cool thing with compliments, even when you say that, there's two ways that can play out. We can have that compliment be received with our whole heart and real, true, authentic gratitude. And then we can actually extend a compliment as a gift, not in exchange because you gave me something, but because I am genuinely, authentically feeling to extend a compliment back, right? Like a gift back. So it's more of an exchange versus, oh, they gave me something, I owe them something back, which is fear-based and lack and limitation kind of mentality. More of that abundant, prosperous, you know, mindset. We shift into that consciousness and then we can extend from that place of love. It's like, thank you. I receive that, like really receive it. And then here I have this for you. You know, I have this acknowledgement or this gratitude or this compliment for you as well.
Yeah, I love that. And it really speaks to the, you know, the energy behind something really matters. Right? We could say exactly the same words or do exactly the same behavior, but the intention or the energy behind it, it makes a huge difference to help what the impact is or how it feels for each person.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. So maybe the challenge is for people to you know, look at how, you know, compliments or acknowledgement or appreciation or gratitude, whether it's gratitude towards self, even you could give yourself compliments. You know, that one little girl in the mirror who's like saying all these like gratitude affirmation, like, you know, she's like doing all these major movements with her body. It's so sweet. That we can do that even with ourselves, is like looking in the mirror and saying, you know, you're brilliant, you're beautiful, you've got this, you know, I believe in you, like those kinds of things. Even I love you. I've had that. That was one of my exercises when I was, yeah, my eating disorder was to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I couldn't do it. I had to close my eyes and just say it. And then eventually I was able to say it, but it was really challenging to extend that compliment to myself and receive it at the same time. So I was looking at myself in the mirror, but to be able to, you know, compliment, show your gratitude, show your appreciation, that is being a healing presence. And that's extending that energy and essence of being a loving presence, like an appreciation, gratitude, whatever that energy is, whatever resonates with you. It's putting it out into the world and spreading it around and then letting that be the ripple effect that then influences, like paying it forward, right? Pay it forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really feel like the way that we treat ourselves impacts how we treat others. It was so, this was one of the earliest things as I moved into kind of healing from everything that I was kind of personally aware of doing, was I feel like I was living in so much fear and stress and overwhelm, and my kids were pretty young at the time. And so I would often, I mean, maybe not often, I'm probably being too hard, but I would, you know, lose my patience with them, or I would be kind of cross, stern, or even yell sometimes. And I would really beat myself up for that. I would feel so much shame. And there's this sense, I feel like a lot of, like, I notice that a lot of my clients have this. I think it's a quite a common belief to have, is that when we criticize ourselves and beat ourselves up for something, somehow that's going to help us get better and do things next time and improve. And so, you know, I would shame myself for losing my patience with them. I would feel really horrible. And then I would, okay, I'm going to do better next time. But it would never change. It kept being the same. And what I really found is when I started to go, okay, I lost my patience with them, and I don't like that, but I'm still a worthy person. I can still love myself, even though I did that. And that was really hard at the beginning, right? But I would just sit with myself for, you know, how a few minutes or however long it took to kind of feel that settle in. And then I could go back and be with them and be so much different and be more patient and be more calm. And the more that I did that, the less and less I was losing my patience with them, right? And so it had a huge effect just by changing my conversation with myself, or my, you know, the way I treated myself, and I felt like I did something that wasn't okay. And that's been huge. That's like, I feel like that's one of my foundational practices, is to really be compassionate to myself, even when I feel like I mess up.
Yeah, I love that. It's like, it's coming from lifting the judgment, that's kind of knee-jerk judgment that comes in, right? It's lifting the judgment off and meeting ourselves with compassion and empathy and even forgiveness. It's like, okay, I don't like that I did that, but I can forgive that I did. And what can I do differently next time? How can I shift it next time? So we become less judgmental and not using that negative feedback to try and convince us not to do it again, or, you know, punish ourselves not to do it again. It's more about really honoring our human reactivity sometimes, our triggers, and meeting ourselves with that tenderness and witnessing that part of us that, you know, for some reason feels like it needs to, you know, still lash out. And it's that, in that space, where we can actually really get in there and heal it. bullying. It's almost like bullying it, right? The other way is like bullying as opposed to really honoring, meeting it, and healing it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what makes a difference. I don't think bullying it, you know, might work slightly in the short term, maybe, if at all, but meeting it with the compassion is really the long-term change.
Yeah, absolutely. I often say, you know, we need to treat ourselves like we would our best friend, because our programming is like we're our inner critic is running high, or, you know, we beat ourselves up, or we judge ourselves, or we bully ourselves, whatever it is that whatever it is that we shame ourselves, blame ourselves. There's lots of things that we can do, but to stop in that moment, like, I love that you had that awareness is like, okay, I'm going to stop because this isn't working. I don't want to do this anymore. It doesn't feel good. What can I do differently? And you shifted it into forgiveness. You shifted it into being more proactive and supportive and compassionate towards yourself. I feel like we can all do that when we recognize that inner critic. And then one way that I found over the years is to go, okay, there are things I'm saying to myself that I wouldn't say to my best friend. So why would I say it to me? So I started to see myself as my own best friend. And I started to hear what I was saying to myself and change the dialogue, because I would imagine myself saying it to somebody else. And I would never do that. So I started to honor and respect my own self and meet myself from that perspective. So being my own best friend really helped me change that dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think that's such a great starting point for so many people, because they can really, it's very understandable. They know they wouldn't do that to their best friend, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's much, you know, it's very accessible to be able to do that and shift that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you for being here and thank you for sharing. I appreciate you and your work that you're doing in the world. And how can people connect with you, find you?
So I do have a website, and anyone can contact me through there. The website is lightupyourheart.ca. So all full words, www.lightupyourheart.ca. You can find more, and then there's a way to contact there.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you being part of this conversation, being part of the book and sharing your story. And if you want to connect with Rosemary, I'll have the link to her website in the description of the show as well. And she is in the book, so you can also get the book. And if you haven't already picked up your copy, it's available on all the online bookstores, ebook version or print on demand, and you can order your copy anytime and read Rosemary's story, but also the other authors, guest author stories as well. So I thank you all for being here. I appreciate you continuing to be part of this series and part of this global healing movement. I honor you. I see you. I appreciate you. Until next time, love and blessings.
Thank you for joining our global healing movement and podcast, inspired by the international best-selling book, We Are All Healers. Ordinary people with extraordinary intention will heal the world. Order your copy today on your favorite online bookstore. 100% of the royalties go to support our Heart Love Living Foundation humanitarian projects. Together, we can uplift humanity and unify us in love for each other and our planet.